Extra Life was born, it just occurred to me that gamers should be able to do the things they love to help sick and injured kids as well. And so the funds that Extra Lifers raise can go to a variety of purposes in the local area at the local hospital.
So maybe your extra $20 or your extra $50 goes to curing 87% of children with leukemia.
62 kids like me enter a children's hospital every minute.
And I was one of those kids. You could save their life too.
Play games, heal kids.
Hey, Chad, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah.
How about...
No, not again.
Okay, what about...
I just saw that last week.
Okay, oh,
I got it. Wait. You want me to watch what?
So, what'd you think of Caveman?
So I think that Caveman is a parody a la Airplane for a movie that hasn't been made yet.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair. I'll agree with that. So welcome everyone to You Want Me to Watch What? Where twice a month, Chad and I recommend a movie to the other one that they haven't seen. Chad and I have seen a lot of movies over the years, and, well, this is one that he hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So, this week, we are talking about the 1981 film Caveman, starring Ringo Starr, Dennis Quaid, and Shelley Long. It is 1 zillion B.C., October 9th.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thursday, I believe.
Yeah. That sets the tone for the movie. This is by no means a serious movie. We are introduced to Atuk. He is one of a clan of cavemen, and they are out foraging for food, as one does. When they're attacked by what is effectively a very large a chameleon, basically. Like one of those things where their eyes moved independently of each other.
Yeah, iguanas or chameleons.
Or something like that, yeah.
Lizard. Geckos.
By the way, all the creatures that they encounter in this are stop motion in the style of Ray Harryhausen. It is not Harryhausen, but it isn't in that style, and we'll circle back to that later.
Yep.
The lizard, you know, they escape, scrambling up trees, whatever. The lizard absconds with one of them. Then they go back and tell the women folk, well, we were unsuccessful, but a dinosaur got to eat. It is here that we really get to see that Atuk, played by Ringo, I don't know if I said that, is kind of the outcast of the clan. He has no mate. He is scrawnier kind of than the rest. And he just kind of lives on his own, in his own little area of the cave. And we see him playing with a wheel. And mm-hmm. we see that his area has cave paintings on it when the other area the other areas are bare. And it is also here that we see that he has, or he claims to be in love with Lana, who is the mate of the tribe leader, Tonda. And he tries to...
Played by Sloth from the Goonies.
Played by Sloth from the Goonies, yeah. Lana is played by Barbara Bach, who went on to marry Ringo after the movie.
They met during this movie.
They met during the movie, yeah. So he tries to woo her with some fruit that he has saved. And what does she do? She turns around and gives it to Tonda. He's rejected. He goes back to his own little part of the cave. The next day, they're out foraging, and they find what appears to be a marijuana plant with some fruit on it.
Mm-hmm.
They have Atuk test it out, and as he's taking a bite of it, he grabs some and puts it in a pouch, and he gets blissfully high and passes out. To which everybody else is like, yeah, we're not touching that. That night, knowing that if he gives Lana something else, she's going to turn around and give it to Atuk. So he opens this piece of fruit up, puts more of those berries in there, closes it up, gives it to Lana. She gives it to Atuk. gives it to Tonda. He eats it, falls asleep. She eats it, falls asleep. And he goes over to try and woo her, only to get pinned between Lana and Tonda.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning, Tonda wakes up, tries to engage with what he thinks is Lana. It's Atuk. He wakes up, and Atuk is thrown out of the clan. Previously, due to an injury, another clan member, Lar, played by Dennis Quaid, was also abandoned. Those two meet up, and...
Lar!
Atuk! And it's this very slow motion running towards each other kind of thing. They collide into each other and give each other a hug, which pops their backs, and they are now standing erect. They are not slumped over anymore.
They're upright.
They are upright.
They are upright sapiens.
And they're kind of strutting around like, oh, yes, this is nice.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Huh.
So they go off on their own where they meet Tala, played by Shelley Long, and what we presume is her father or something.
Gog,
who is blind by what we can tell because he's poking around with a stick and whatever. And the four of them go on to encounter other misfits, and they start this tribe of their own, including Nook, who is the only person that speaks English in the entire movie. The entire movie is done through grunts and nonsensical words that you have to put together through context.
Uh-huh.
And then there's Nook, who is the only one speaking English. So at one point, they're trying to tell everybody that they're friends by, you know, joining their hands together and going, Bobo.
Bobo.
Bobo. Meaning, yeah. And Nook is like, friend. Bobo. Friend. Bobo. And he breaks the fourth wall, looks at the camera, just kind of goes, whatever. You know, that's the look of frustration on his face.
Zug zug.
Zug zug.
Whatever.
Whatever, yeah. And during this time with these other misfits, they discover fire.
Mm-hmm.
They discover how to cook meat.
Yep.
They all get their, you know, chiropractic on, and they're all upright sapiens.
Yep.
They invent music. You know, they are doing so much that the other clan just didn't do. Well, Tonda sees this and tries to, you know, they see the fire and then they want it. So they come in and they take some of it, you know, they get fended off. And as time goes on, Tonda's clan starts to emulate Atuk's clan. They all get their backs cracked and they're using fire, and they invent fishing by sticking the women underwater and holding onto their ankles, where the women have to catch the fish with their hands or mouth, and then they pull them back up. It's at this time that Lana is kind of swept away in a current. Atuk and Lar rescue her from drowning, but Lar is swept away further downriver. Atuk takes Lana. Yeah, we'll circle back to that in a minute. Atuk takes Lana back to his clan, where she's kind of cared for, much to the chagrin of Tala, who likes Atuk, but he loves Lana. And she is trying to replace herself, put herself in her rightful place as the, you know, the mate of the leader of this group. And so when the other clan members are like, you know, where's Lar? Well, he's swept away. And they're like, well, we should go get him. She's trying to persuade him to stay, to, you know, zug zug, for lack of a better term. But he agrees, and he goes, and they go to rescue Lar, which ended up in a, quote, nearby ice age.
Nearby.
Nearby, yeah.
Just
just right there.
And we see him frozen in an ice block, having been chased by an abominable snowman.
Played by Richard Mole.
Sure. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And so they start to chip away at Lar to free him. The fire starts to thaw the ice. And then we get this romp through an ice cave with six or seven cavemen and an abominable snowman slipping on the ice. They get away. And the Yeti just kind of shuffles sadly back off to where he came from. In the meantime, Tonda has found Lana, and they take all the women and all the children, leaving mm-hmm. only Gog left. Well, this does not set well with the others, so they invent weapons.
Yep.
And armor. And they go storm the other cave. And Atuk and Tonda battle it out. Atuk getting the upper hand and defeating Tonda, becoming the leader of both groups. And he unceremoniously dumps Lana into a big pile of poop and takes Tala as his mate, and they lived happily ever after.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those where this is not meant to be taken seriously at all.
It should not be.
It is, no. It is almost Python-esque in the absurdity of some of the things, but not quite in that area. It's Python adjacent, in my opinion.
Hmm.
All of the two dinosaurs that they encounter are stop motion animation that they're reacting to. The Yeti is, you know, Richard Mole in a costume.
Yeah. The Tyrannosaurus Rex is the cutest Tyrannosaurus Rex ever committed to film.
It is. It really is.
And he develops his very own personality by the end of it.
He does. He really does. Because he gets stabbed by Atuk, and then he gets his foot burned by Atuk.
Mm-hmm.
And
and then he gets a nice heavy dose of pot.
Yeah. So, I mean, the whole time he's like, oh, well, I'm going to get you. Oh, no, I'm not going to get you. Oh, no, no, no.
Darn. Like at the very end when he's just hanging out off the side of the cliff and the little bitty arms come up and like just hold his face.
Oh, no.
It's
a silly movie. So, Chad, what are your thoughts on it?
So, you remember when I made you watch Star Wars Holiday Special?
Yeah.
You know how there were huge portions of that movie where there were no closed captions and everybody was talking Wookiee?
Uh-huh.
That's how I felt through most of this.
Yeah.
It's like, man, I think what this was is somebody who had a great idea for a sketch or like a series of three or four sketches, but was shit at script writing.
Yes.
I mean, was I entertained? Yes. Do I think it's good? No.
That is fair.
This is a movie, unfortunately, though, that you have to watch. Like, you can't just have this on and wander in and out with, because everything's a visual gag, with the exception of that one conversation with Nook.
Uh-huh.
Like, everything. You could.
But even then, there are, like,
well, because you got all the facial expressions of them being confused because they don't understand English. But it's this, as I'm watching, I'm just like, oh, this is funny. I wonder when they're going to switch over. Oh, they're not going to switch over.
Yeah.
Oh. Hey, that's Dennis Quaid. Huh. Yeah. can't mistake that smile. I did mistake Ringo Starr. I didn't realize that was Ringo Starr in it.
Yep.
So, I mean, my experience of Ringo Starr's acting, other than the two movies that we've watched here, was in a TV miniseries of Alice in Wonderland, in which he played the Mock Turtle.
And heavy makeup and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm, and sang the song Nonsense, which is a very good song. But
yeah.
That all being said, this is one of those where everything that happens as kind of a setup for how they're going to win at the end.
Yes.
You know, they learn to walk upright so that they can, you know, do this stuff. The the fishing so that they can do this, that, you know, and everything kind of accidentally goes a Took's way.
Yes.
When
he is, yeah.
When he's out in the wilderness. Like, it goes against him whenever he's part of Tonda's tribe. But as soon as he's out on his own, things go his way, all accidentally.
Uh-huh.
Is, oh, we're going to save this guy from the tar pits, you know? And, oh, we're going to find this hole in the tree during the thunderstorm. Oh, there's fire. Oh, people are getting into a fight over the big bird. Oh, it accidentally cooked. Now we've got tasty, delicious, you know, safe to eat bird. It is simple and it is funny. And this is something that I would watch with my kid, right?
Yeah.
Like the humor is right on for a 10-year-old. With a couple of instances.
Yeah, with a couple of instances. The only thing is, my son wanted to watch it with me, and it was getting late. And I said, well, tell you what, we'll watch it later this weekend. And the next morning he's like, well, Dad, how was the movie? I'm like, well, it's absolutely fine for you in terms of content, but you're going to get bored because there are stretches between gags where there's, you know, caveman talking, which mm-hmm. has no discernible, you know, you have to pay attention to the context. And I'm just like, you're going to get bored watching this. Maybe in a couple more years you will appreciate it, but right now you're better off watching your YouTube shows.
Yeah. Right now is it fine for you? Yes. Will you enjoy it? Probably not.
No.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
This is I do want to speak out and say that this is one of those movies, probably one of the very early movies, that showed a homosexual relationship
mm-hmm.
that was not a punchline.
Nope.
That was not integral to the plot, but also was treated respectfully and reasonably.
Yeah.
The only thing that happens is when Atuk and Lar see the two men holding hands and look at each other and go, ooh. But there's no sense of derision or disgust. It's just a, that's what this is.
Okay, yeah.
I really enjoyed that. I appreciated that as the sense of 1981. They got it right.
Yeah.
Yep. They got it right.
Yep. You know, they were part of the Misfit Clan, so you had the one African American in the movie. You had the one Asian person in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You had the one little person in the movie. And then you had the old blind guy added to the mix. You had the one caveman who had like a physical deformity where his arm was just at like a 90 degree angle the whole time. No rhyme or reason. They don't explain it. His arm is just straight out of the shoulder and then down or up or whatever. You know, it was just always cocked at an angle. No rhyme or reason. But you're right. They don't play that stuff up for laughs. It's just, oh, this is who you are. Cool.
It is at one end, okay, this is why you're part of the Misfits group. And yet it didn't matter.
No.
So, I will give Carl Gottlieb all the props for doing so much with this. He's the guy who wrote it. He's also the guy who directed it. And from the guy who wrote, you know, Jaws and The Jerk, he also wrote Jaws 2 and Jaws 3D, but we're just going to... We'll ignore that in favor of, you know, he has done a magnificent amount of good work with a movie that, for all intents and purposes, should have been about five semi-connected skits in a larger thing.
Mm-hmm. This would be something that would be randomly dropped into an episode of Kids in the Hall.
Yes. Absolutely.
Not like one long skit. You just, you get a little bit of like this scene with the pot plant. And then later on you cut back to it and this scene with something else. And then, you know, maybe yep. end the episode with something else, you know.
The scene where Tonda is going to throw the rock at Atuk and throws himself with it.
Self, yeah. Yep. Every time he's going to throw a rock at Atuk, he lifts it up over his head and he either falls backwards from the weight of it or he throws it, doesn't let go, and flies with it.
So that's where Thor got the idea.
There you go. So,
but yeah,
ultimately, where do you come down on this?
It's a see it. I mean, it's it's a it is a unique entry into comedy. Like I seriously thought this is a movie that there weren't a whole lot of this type of caveman, you know. Because they did like a million years BC. There was when dinosaurs ruled the earth, those kind of things. But this didn't seem to be specifically lampooning those.
No.
It was doing something on its own, but it was in that style, and it's got that sense because so many gags, visual and otherwise, throughout it, it feels like an airplane-style spoof of a genre of which we don't have any good examples yet.
Yes.
And so we're going to end up seeing the anti-spoof. Somebody is sometime going to make a no-joke, serious movie that looks like this. Quest for Fire. That's the closest I can get to.
There you go.
So, but yeah, see it. It's on Tubi. You can see it for free. You know?
Maybe something like Clan of the Cave Bear or something, you know, just.
Maybe.
Yeah. But it's a you know caveman-esque movie that is serious about itself, not caveman. So yeah, it's a see it for me. Just know you're gonna have to pay attention, even though it's a goofy comedy.
Yeah. All right.
Well,
cool beans.
I believe it is your turn.
I'll come up with something.
Hey, question.
Yeah.
Since it's October next month, you want to do some spooky movies?
I can come up with something spooky.
Yay.
Hello, meet Popsicles. Why don't you grab your multipass, a drink, and come sit with us?
Let's pick each other's brain. We want you to be part of our intimate conversation about science fiction topics.
Let's do this. Join us, and let's talk about science fiction topics in books, movies, TV shows, and games.
At Science Fiction Remnant, you are invited to listen in.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And don't forget your multipass.